All right, well, it's good to see everyone this morning, and if you have your Bible this morning, if you would please turn with me. We're going to begin here in just a few moments. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 this morning, and we'll look at a particular person here that's listed, and we'll see what we can find here this morning and try to find some things that maybe apply a little bit to us and how today can better us by learning something here from God's Word. In our lesson this morning, I'm going to take a little bit different approach to our lesson. My book maybe is a little different than your book that maybe you read. I don't know if you use those or not, but I encourage you to do that. It's a good tool. It's easy to follow, easy reading. It seems to be very easy to follow in your book. But in mine, mine is to cover about 8 kings and give a little bit of description about them. And the description pretty much is they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you know what happens when a king does not follow God? Destruction always comes. Now, with that being said, and we'll pray here in a moment, get into our lesson, we have to keep in mind, even in the day and age that we live in, when leaders and kings and rulers do that which is evil in the sight of God, destruction is going to follow, and I don't care who you are. And we often kind of relate a lot of that to our nation and our land and where we're headed as a nation. But it's not just our nation that's affected here. It's other nations as well. When evil people rule, whether it be in Iraq, whether it is in North Korea, it's going to cause problems around the world. And even leaders in different parts of the world, you take the leaders of Syria, you take Iraq, and as we mentioned, North Korea have some very evil people that are leading those nations, those groups of people, and not only does it affect their people, but it affects others around the world as well. So it's very important that who the leader of a nation is does matter. Now, in our land, we call it a president. Other parts of the world, Saudi Arabia, it's a king. You have dictators. It doesn't matter what the title is given to them. It's important to have people in leadership that are godly people. Now, of course, we're in a presidential electoral cycle, and I think it's even important for us to understand that we need good, godly people. Now, there are times where you look at those that are running for public office and you say, I don't see a good godly person on either side or three or four sides or whatever. And when that happens, we got problems. And that could be even so maybe for us very shortly in our nation. But let's pray. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to go a different route this morning. We're going to take one king. We're going to look at him and find out that he was a good man, but he's going to make a huge mistake in his life that's going to cost him dearly, and we'll look at that this morning. A little different direction, but we'll look at something here that I think we can all benefit from this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you, thank you, praise you for this good day that you've given unto us and the time that we have as we can take for the next few moments. We can study from your word, and we can learn, we can grow, and Lord, help us to do just that today. Not only in this hour, but also in our morning service and our evening service tonight. We just pray for your blessings upon all that's done today. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this day. It's a special day for us as your people, as we unite together, as we come together. And God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, no doubt there's many people who have needs this morning and prayer requests, and we do pray for them that you would bless them and help them and supply and meet all their needs this morning. I pray, Lord, for those this morning that maybe have lost people in their life, whether it be a friend or a family member or a relative, maybe it's a next-door neighbor that needs to be saved. God, help us as your children not to ever give up on them. Help us to pray for their salvation and help us to be a good witness and testimony unto them. And, Lord, maybe this week will be the week of salvation for those that are lost. We do pray once again, Lord, for our missionaries and how important they are to us and to the work here and to the work around the world. And we pray that you would help in supplying their needs, that you would bless them. We also pray for our church, help supply all the needs of our church this morning, our ministries, our school, and all that is included here in this place. We just pray, Lord, for your blessing in your hand of power and your direction upon all the ministries of our church this morning. We do pray that you bless as we study. We pray that you would help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 is where we're going to begin this morning. We're going to look at a man. His name is going to be Uzziah. He is a king that is going to rule. He's going to rule for 52 years, which is a pretty long time for a king to sit on the throne, if you would. Many could never survive for that amount of years. Many times kings were, of course, murdered or overtaken by an enemy. But this man, he's going to rule for 52 years, a long, prosperous reign. He's going to begin reigning. We'll just go down to verse. See, we're in chapter 26. Look at verse number 3. He's 16 years old when he began to reign. So he's going to be a young man. He's only going to be 16 years of age when he begins to reign. Now, some of the benefits that this man has is that his father did teach him a lot of good things. His father was king before him. And his father did lay a good foundation in his life. So as he was growing up to the age of 16, he did see the hand of God and what God could do for a people who followed after him. And, you know, that's probably one of the most lacking elements in politics today is just finding good, godly people who love the Lord and is not ashamed of it, and can show the world what God can do with a group of people who just follows after him. I think that our nation this morning, my opinion is our nation is a nation who's been very blessed of God and is an example of a group of people who has followed the hand of God, not so much in recent years, but as years have gone by, a group of people who followed after the Lord and has been an example to the world of what Jehovah can do and when a people follows after the Lord. Now, we've drifted way away from that, and I think that's one of the reasons we struggle so much today as a nation is because we've kind of gotten away from that. But we find here that he's going to begin reigning in verse number 3 when he's 16 years of age. He's going to reign for 52 long years, and we're going to take just a little bit of a portion of his life and look at some things here that we need to make note of. Now, it's interesting here in verse number 3. Well, we'll just read here a little bit. In verse number 3, he began to reign. He's 16 years old. He reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. Verse number 4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done as well. So there's some very good points here. He's 16 years of age when he began to reign. He's going to reign for 52 years. He does that which is right in verse number 4 in the sight of the Lord. Now, verse number 4 may be the key verse about him. Let's look at verse number 5. Let me move on because there's something very important in verse 5 here we need to underline in our Bible. And he sought God into the days of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah, being a priest, a man of God, was very important, very instrumental here. He's going to be the one that's going to give him spiritual advice. He's going to give him the right spiritual advice. You know, a lot of kings had a lot of advisors. They had people that would advise them on military action, the strength of their army, which was very, very important in those days. That's how you survived, was by a good, strong army. They also had spiritual advisors in their life. Some had good spiritual advisors. Some had bad spiritual advisors. He has a good spiritual advisor in his life. And then look in verse number 5 in the middle of the verse, who had understanding in the visions of God. Now, it's good to have a spiritual advisor that has good knowledge of what God wants and expects out of an individual. So that's key. But look at verse number 5, the last part of the verse. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You need to underline that. As long as he, in verse number 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That is the key to his life. That's going to be the reason why he does so well, why he becomes very prosperous. That's how he's going to reign for 52 years pretty much. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, me personally, I believe that principle still applies today. As long as we, as a people,
whether it be a family. You can apply it to a family. As long as a family seeks after the Lord, God will prosper that family. As long as a church does that, as a church body, as long as we seek the Lord, I believe that God will help a church to prosper. As a nation, it applies to a nation. Of course, that's how it applies here, as it applies to the nation here. And as long as they sought after the Lord, as long as the king, as long as he sought after the Lord, it's pretty simple. You endured or experienced prosperity. Now, I guess what becomes so monotonous as you, especially as I was reading in my lesson, it becomes so monotonous, and sometimes it's, I don't know, you almost think I got to come up with something more than just that in Sunday school because that's pretty basic. When kings did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, destruction always came. You mark it down. There was never an exception. As long as a king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as we find in verse number 4, and as long as he sought after the Lord in verse number 5, guess what happens? He became very prosperous. So that's so basic this morning that I think we can all agree that that's the whole key to life. When you seek after God and you do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, God's going to take care of you. But boy, as soon as you decide to do that which is evil in the sight of God and do that which is ungodly before God and do not seek after God, guess what's going to happen? The hand of blessing that God's put upon you is going to be removed. And it doesn't matter who you are. Now, we have to understand something here this morning that sometimes we're very proud Americans this morning, but America is no exception to this rule this morning. There's much debate that rages on, are we a Christian nation anymore? We often maybe will talk a little bit about, even on our currency, in God we trust, but do we really trust in God? I mean, we have a lot of problems in this land. Now, it all goes back, the problems that we have in our day and age is because as a nation, I'm not so sure that we're doing that which is right in the sight of God, and I don't know that we're seeking after God, and because of that, the hand of the blessings of God is going to be removed from even our nation this morning. And I think we could all agree to that. So it's very simple. It's very basic. And in my lesson, I think it gave me about 9 kings that we could go through and look at and just real quickly look and find out those that did evil in the sight of God and what happened to them and how the people suffered because of that. And it would go to the next king, and he would do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And because of that, guess what happened? They were always defeated. They were overtaken by their enemies. Horrible things took place, and some very devastating events, and war would break out, and they would always lose the battle because they did not have the hand of God upon them. It didn't matter the size of their army. It did not matter the wealth that maybe they possessed. It didn't matter how big the wall was around the city. If they were not following God, they always fell every single time. Now, we have here Uzziah. He's an interesting person. 16 years of age when he begins. I can't imagine a 16. Let's see, your two boys about to turn 16. They turned 16 when? A week from today, all right? Josh and Caleb Jones will be 16 years old. You better watch out about a week on the road. They'll be careful. They'll be on the road, and it's going to be very dangerous, all right? Let's say take Josh and Caleb Jones. Can you imagine them being elected to the presidency of the United States of America? Now, personally, I look and think that they can't do any worse than what they've been doing. And we have to understand a little bit. Back in the day and age that we're reading about, young guys were very mature very early. Life was a little bit different back then, but you take it for what it is, the guy's 16 years old. It's going to be kind of difficult for a 16-year-old boy to become king and be effective. How are you going to get the respect of the people? I mean, how's a general in your army that's maybe 50 going to have respect for you? You're 16. Surely your army, your leaders of your army are going to, he's 16 years old. I mean, he doesn't know anything about battle and how to win a victory and how to put a strategy together and how to defend the people and how to be prosperous and how to do things correctly. But I believe this. I believe the reason that he's going to be successful is found in these two verses. It's because we find here he does two things right. All right. Number one, he's going to do that which is right in the sight of God. So evidently, he lived his life with a constant reminder in his mind, you know, well, you know, how would God handle this? I mean, what would God think if I make this choice? That thought was always in his mind. He did that which was right in the sight of God. He found out what was right, and that's what he would do. Now, at times, no doubt, maybe he didn't know what was right and what was wrong. Now, the key for him here is he's going to have a spiritual advisor, if you would, in his life that's going to lead him down the right path. That's very key as well. Maybe there's three important parts here. That'd be the second important part is he when he didn't know what was right or when he needed some help making decisions and he needed to know what, you know, how would God want this to take place, he always sought after the man of God who knew God, who walked with God, who gave him good advice. And then thirdly, we find at the end of verse number 5, as long as he sought the Lord, he's going to prosper. Pretty simple. Now, those three principles, I believe, apply to us today as well. It's very important that we, as God's people in the year 2016, number one, as we live our life from day to day, we should always have the goal of every day of doing that which is right in the sight of God. And you know what? When you do that which is right, it's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble. Now, this isn't just for teenagers and young people and children. This is good for adults as well. We need to learn to do that which is right in the sight of God. Number two, we need good spiritual advice. It's important that you give good spiritual advice. And we can really branch off into a lot of elements there. It's important to go to a good church, a Bible-believing church, a Bible-preaching church, a Bible-living church, if you would, a place where you're not going to be misled. And there are a lot of principles that apply there. And then thirdly, that last little part of verse number 5, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper, right? And guess what's going to happen? He is going to prosper. He is going to prosper. I mean, if you study his life, it's pretty amazing what he accomplishes in his life. You'll find that Uzziah is going to do several things here. Beginning down in verse number 6, you'll find in verse number 6, and I'm going to read all the verses. You can kind of read them as I talk here. You're going to find that he's going to, guess what? One of the first things he's going to do is he's going to enlarge the borders of his nation. He's going to take on the Philistines. He's going to conquer them. He's going to conquer their cities and their areas of dwelling. He's going to overtake that. He's going to move the Jewish people in there. They're going to live in some of those lands there. And he took the land from the Philistines and he's going to dwell there because he needed more area for the people to live in. He's going to broaden the borders of his nation. And every time he took on an enemy, guess what happened? As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. Now, there's a misunderstanding too. Let me back up here just a little bit. For instance, in verse number 5, I've underlined that last phrase, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, I just made a false statement to you several times, and I don't know if you've caught it. I just mentioned to you that every time, for instance, when he would go out to battle against the Philistines, I've said to you several times this morning, guess what happened? He prospered. That is a false statement. The reason I consider a false statement this morning is it's not that he prospered, it's God made him to prosper. There's a difference here. You see, it's not about Uzziah being prosperous, it's God made him to prosper. Do you understand that? You see, you take that word God out, you know what's going to happen to him? He's not going to prosper. You see, this morning, the only reason that we as a nation are blessed, it's because of God. This may shock you. Our nation is not great because of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Independent Party or the Libertarian Party. It's not because of one particular president, or it's not because of this president. It's not because of who is in Congress. The only reason that our nation has ever been prosperous, it's because of God. You know, we used to believe one nation, what? Under God. You see, sometimes, here's our biggest failure in America. We have forgotten the under God. Now, if you're under God, that means God's above you. Is that correct? You know, sometimes we as a nation, I'm afraid that we believe we are God. Sometimes we get people in leadership that believe that they are God, and they're not. So let me go back here. It will correct it, as I've mentioned here just a little bit. In verse number 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he's going to prosper. He's going to prosper, I mean, greatly. How does he do that? Beginning verse 6, we just mentioned. He decided, you know what, I think we can take the enemy. You know, we need more land. We don't have enough area for everybody to dwell in. We're all kind of crammed in a small space here. I think we're going to reach out and we're going to increase our borders. We're going to enlarge our land, if you would. So he goes out under his leadership. They overtake the enemy. They overtake and regain some land, and they broaden the borders. And he was very prosperous in that. Why? Because he sought after the Lord, and because of that, God gave him the victory. We got to stress here over and over, because this is going to be important in just a few moments. God made him to prosper. Then secondly, you'll find also that Uzziah began to put together a large army. You'll find that, look at verse number 7, and God helped him. Very important you underline the word God, because guess what's going to happen here in a few more verses? You're going to find that he's going to forget all about God. You'll find in verse number 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and others as well, as it's mentioned there in verse number 7. You'll find in verse number 8 that they become he becomes wealthy. Money starts to kind of pour in, and gifts and land and possessions. So things are going very, very well. He's overtaken some enemies. He's broadened the borders a little bit. They've kind of branched out, and their land has grown, and their possession of land has grown. And now, as they've overtaken the enemies, they have taken some of those possessions, if you would. They have now become more wealthy. He's increased his army. His army has become very, very large, has become very, very powerful. You'll find in verse number 9 he does something else very important. He rebuilt the walls. Which was very, very important. It was very important for many reasons. It kept the enemy out and kept the people of God in. Very important there. He built the gates there as well, the walls and so forth. So towers, he built towers in Jerusalem at the gates as well, which became very helpful unto them as far as being able to fight off the enemy that maybe would have tried to attack them. And so you can see he becomes a very prosperous guy. He started when he was 16 years old. He reigns for 52 years. Very successful. Very, very blessed. But, you know, you've got to always give credit where credit is due. And I'm not saying we can't give this guy some credit here. You know, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he sought after the Lord. And because of that, God made him to prosper, as we find at the end of verse number 5. And then you need to underline in verse number 7, and God helped him. Now, when you take those phrases, when God prospers you and when God helps you, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with having the blessings of God upon your life. I mean, life is good for him. I think all of us here this morning would like to have the blessings of God upon them. I'm not being selfish this morning, but I want God to bless me. Now, the opposite of having the blessings of God, that's not a good life. There's nothing wrong with desiring for God to bless and to work and to help and to guide and to help us to be prosperous for the right reasons. And he's doing it for the right reasons. He's becoming very successful. He's a good man. He's not bad at all. He's seeking after the Lord. He's doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. God made him to prosper. Verse number 7, God helps him. And what a blessed life that must be. What more could you want? He's got power, wealth beyond measure. He doesn't have to worry about finances. He's not having to worry about money issues and so forth. He becomes very popular. He's very well known. And he is extremely liked and loved by the people he is serving. I mean, how can you not like this leader? I mean, all the people benefited from it as well. They become more wealthy. They have more land. They have a larger army. Now the walls are built. Not only that, we've even got towers around the gates as well. The city is protected. He protects the people. He takes care of them. And things are going very well. Why? Because he did that which was right in the sight of God. He seeks after the Lord, and he has the hand of God upon him, and God blesses him, and God helps him, and things are going wonderful. You'll find that, and I'm going to skip down just a little bit here, but with all this prosperity, may I say this, you have to be very, very, very careful with success. Being prosperous is a good thing, but you got to be careful with prosperity. You know, prosperity has ruined a lot of good people. Fame and strength and wealth and strength and all those things that maybe a person encounters in life, you got to be careful with it and how you use it. Now, we don't have a whole lot to worry about this morning because we're not very wealthy. We're not very important, maybe in the eyes of the world and so forth. But we as God's people must be very, very careful how we handle this success. And we find here he was 16 when he started. Does a tremendous job. He reigns for 52 long years. We find, and I'm kind of just hammering this away over and over and over, that as we find here in verse number 4, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We find in verse number 5 at the end, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verse number 7, and God helped him against the enemies and so forth, as we find in verse number 17. You'll find that because of all this, he's going to make a big mistake. Uzziah became proud, and I think he got to the point that he thought he could do anything, and no matter what whatever he decides to do in life, it's going to be okay because he's gotten used to success. He doesn't know what failure is. He doesn't know what it's like to be defeated. He's never lost. He's had the hand of God upon him, and he's been so blessed of God that I think he kind of loses touch with who he is and who God is. Now, may I remind you of something very important at the end of verse number 5. Let's not forget that it was God made him to prosper. Now, I don't know what happens in his life, and I don't know what triggers this problem that we're going to discuss here in just a moment, but maybe, just maybe, he got to the point where he thought it was him, that it was because of his leadership ability. Maybe he got to be thinking that it's because of the decision that he made in life. I think he loses touch somewhere and kind of loses focus on it was God that made him to prosper, not him. I think he forgets a little bit that without God, he's not going to win. I think he kind of forgets and kind of loses sight that it's all that he has and all that he is because of God. Because if you take God out of the picture, you lose all the prosperity. All the victories, they're going to vanish. All the possessions that you have, you'll find it's going to all disappear when God chooses not to bless you. Now, the reason I wanted to pick this king out of all the kings that I had in my book this morning is because he is a good man. He's not a horrible guy. He's a good man. I mean, you know, it's not very often that you read in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about a king that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. In verse number 4, it's not often that you read about a king in the Old Testament, and as long as we find in verse number 5, he sought after the Lord, God prospered him. It's not often in the Old Testament that you find a king, especially starting at the age of 16, that we find in verse number 7 that God helped him against the enemies. I mean, let's be honest. In the Old Testament, there's many, many, many kings that did not follow this pattern. And they suffered greatly because of it. Not only does he prosper, but let's also remember here, the people prosper as well. They're doing very well. But I'm afraid that he kind of loses focus on that last little phrase of verse 5, God made him. Because here's what he's going to do. You'll find beginning down in verse number 16 that it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Now, I don't know exactly what this verse means. I have my thoughts, and we could probably study a little bit and come back next week, and everybody maybe has a little bit different take on what does this mean in verse number 16. But when he was strong, when he was on top, when he was winning, when he was successful, when he was mighty, his heart was lifted up to his, what's that next little word? Destruction. There's something wrong in the heart. It was lifted up. Well, somebody say, well, that means he was proud. And I believe that to be so. When it says his heart was lifted up and that's going to be his destruction is his heart, it means maybe he, you ever heard the old phrase, he got too big for his own britches? I think that's him. I think he becomes pride. I think he has a problem with pride. I think he becomes very, proud of himself, but I think he was also very sure of himself, and he just thought to himself, you know, nobody can defeat me. I can do as I please. If I want to go out and conquer another nation, I can do that. God's going to bless, and I don't know, maybe he lost a little bit of focus on, you know, God's going to bless, and maybe he just thought, you know what, I'm indestructible. Well, there's a lot of people in our day and age that just believe they're indestructible. And pride. Selfishness. Maybe he's a little high-minded. As I've said, the old phrase, he got a little bit too big for his own britches. And the Bible tells me in verse number 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. Let's stop right there. We all know this morning that when you transgress against the Lord, that's not doing that which is right in the sight of God. He's taking a little bit different path. Why? I don't know that I can give you a definitive reason of why. I just know this morning that there's some kind of an issue going on in his heart, and even when he was strong, he had a heart problem. And listen, it doesn't matter how strong we are today. It doesn't matter how wealthy we are or how well we've done or how prosperous we may be or how victorious we've been last week. When your heart, as we find in verse number 16, but when your heart gets lifted up to the point where it's going to, you know what's going to happen? It's going to bring destruction in your life. You know, and I don't know, maybe there's a lot of key points here that we could branch off into. You know, during success, we better be very, very careful about the condition of our heart. Because it's easy when you're on the mountaintop and when you're getting victory after victory after victory and you become wealthy and prosperous and you're popular, and everything you touch turns to gold. It's easy to get to the point where you think it's you doing it. And my personal opinion is that I honestly believe, and I've hammered it away and away at it, and you're tired of hearing me talk about this. I go back to verse number 5, that last little phrase, God made him. And I think he forgot that. And I think he got to the point where he thought it's the king that made us prosperous. He lost sight that it was God. And it's easy to do when things are going well. Let's be honest this morning. When things are going well in life, we tend to pray less than when things are going bad in life. Am I right? When we're sick, or we've got financial problems, or we've got difficulties or tragedy or heartbreak in life, boy, we'll run to God and we'll pray and pray and pray. But what when everything's going well, and boy, everything's paid for, we got money in our checking account, we're just prospering, and we've got things, we've got a hold on life, you know what I find? We tend to pray less during times like that. Maybe this is a false statement. I'm not saying it's true or false. It's just a thought here. We're usually not as close to God when we're successful as we are when we're failures. Because sometimes when things are going right and you're successful in life, we get to the point where we just don't feel like we need God as much. I just know for a fact here that I think it's going to affect this king that way. And as we find here in verse number 16, that he's taking a different path. And you're going to find here that he's going to get to the point where his heart is, we find in verse number 6, it's lifted up. We find that he transgressed against the Lord, his God, in verse number 16, and then it tells you what he does in verse 16. Here's what he does. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. What does that mean? Here's what it means. That job was only for the priest. Only. And somehow, some way, he decides that he's going to take upon himself to do the job or the duties of the priest. He's going to go into the temple. He is going to go, he's going to go through the open court. He's going to go into the holy place that he was forbidden to go into. You say, well, who says I can't do that? Well, his name is God. I don't know, to be honest with you, I was studying a little bit. I don't know of really any other time this really happens where a king who is not a priest here decides, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll just do what the priest does. Now, I know that God, and by the way, that was against the law of Moses. It's been a law for a long, long time. Everybody knew that only a certain person takes upon these duties. Only a certain person, the priest, could go into these areas of the temple and so forth. It was forbidden for others to do such. But I don't know. He decides one day, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll do it. Now, does he feel like he's God? No, I don't think he has that kind of an attitude. But you have to be careful with success. And somehow this success has gotten him to the point here where his heart is lifted up. He now starts to transgress against the Lord, and he does that by going into the temple and taking upon himself to be the priest, and he's not the priest. Maybe he got to the point where he believed he could do anything. There's no, I can do whatever I want to. There's nobody that can stop me. We find in verse number 16 that his big problem is a heart issue, and I understand that that's where all the problems start and begin. It's in the heart. Why does he do this? I don't know. He became proud to some point. He decided that he would take upon the duties of the priest at the temple. He went into the temple. He passed through the open court. He goes into the holy place carrying a censer of incense to burn incense there. Now, you'll find here in verse number 17, guess what? The priest realized what's happened here. The priest runs in and tells him, you know what? You can't do that. You'll find in verse number 18, and they withstood, the priest did, Uzziah the king, and said unto him, and they're going to tell him, you know what, you can't do this. This is a job that you cannot do. You know what the king does? He gets mad. How dare you tell me what I can do and I cannot do? Listen. When we get to the point in our life where we feel like nobody can tell us what we can and cannot do, we're headed down a wrong path. And it's easy to get to that point. Well, you know, nobody's telling me what to do. You know what I find out? Somebody's telling me what to do every day of my life. How many is married this morning? No, just joking. You drive down the road. You go out. You take a left here. And you go down to the stop sign. Do you know what that stop sign means? It means stop. You drive, you take the right, you go towards Hanson. I don't know, what's the speed limit? Is it 45? I don't even know what the speed limit is down through there. There's going to be a speed limit sign on the road, and it's going to tell you, you cannot drive faster than this right here. Well, and we're all this way. Ain't nobody going to tell me how fast and fast I can or cannot drive. I'll drive however fast I want to drive. If I want to drive 85, I'll drive 85, and you can. And then there's going to be some blue lights behind you. You know what he's going to tell you? You can't do that. You ain't going to tell me I can't do that. I can drive however fast. He's going to say, that's fine. Here's you a ticket. You go tell the judge. You see, there's laws everywhere we go. There's lines drawn in the sand. There's borders, and there's rules, and there's regulations. I mean, on everything we do in life. But this king, he got to the point where he felt like, if I want to be the priest, I'll be the priest. What do you mean I can't go into the holy place? Watch me. I can go in the holy place. And he goes into the holy place. Now, personally, I don't really feel like he probably had that kind of an attitude. You know what I really, really think, and I may be totally wrong, and this is just my opinion here. I think he's a good man, thinking that maybe he's doing a good thing in worshiping God. Let me say this. One of the mistakes that he did make in his life, there were other false temples in that land. His father before him allowed some pagan worship to stay present in the land. They actually had some temples there that they worshiped false gods to. And his son here, Uzziah, he allowed that as well, and he allowed the pagan worship to take place. He wasn't involved in it, but if you wanted to do that, then have at it. Now, he had a choice. You know what he could have done? He could have went to their temple, to the false god. And he could have done some things down at the false temple. And guess what? He could have got away with it, and so what? But here's where he makes a mistake. You see, I believe he was a person who was worshiping the true and living God, but he's doing it the wrong way. Maybe down in his heart, maybe he thought he was doing the right thing. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. He wasn't trying to worship a false god. He could have done that. He could have went over to the temple where they had false idols that they bowed down and worshiped idols. He could have went to that temple, but he chose not to. He actually went to the temple of the true and living God. Maybe he feels like he's worshiping God in his own way, but guess what? He's doing it the wrong way. And here's where I think we have a lot of problem today in religion. Some people just don't want to realize this. There is a wrong way to worship God. But people don't want to be told that today. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And may I say this morning, there are a lot of churches doing it the wrong way. You say, but they have good intentions. They may have good intentions, but right is right and wrong is wrong. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say that maybe he felt like he was doing a good thing. But you know what? God has laws. And when you break those laws, there is going to be some repercussion. And let me say this real quickly. You've got to always understand this. God is not a God of anything goes. Now, that's the day we live in. Anything goes nowadays. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things happening in religion today. And it's not for the good. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And guess what's going to happen? Uzziah is going to be punished. You'll find, as we mentioned, he goes into the temple and he goes into the holy place to burn incense unto the Lord. The priests run in and say, whoa, what are you? You can't do this. This is not your job. You are not called of God. You're not in the position that God has placed upon this particular part of worship. And here you are intruding into the holy place. You can't do this. And then we guess what? He's going to look at verse number 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. He's mad. How dare you tell me that? Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the king that's very prosperous, that's very, very blessed. And you as a priest, you can't tell me what's right and wrong. You can't tell me what to do. You'll find verse number 19, Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, what's the next word? Leprosy. Guess what's going to happen to him? It's just by coincidence, I'm sure, but leprosy appears on his forehead. Do you know why leprosy appears on his forehead? It is the judgment of God. You mean to tell me God gave him leprosy? God puts leprosy upon him. You'll find in verse number 19 that the leprosy even arose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Right there in the temple. They hadn't even left the temple yet. And as they're kind of fighting it out here a little bit between him and the priest saying, you can't do this. I mean, you violated the law of God. And he gets mad at the priest, and how dare you tell me I can't do this? I'm trying to do something that I feel like ought to be done. It's a good thing here. And as they're kind of arguing and fighting and so forth, now leprosy starts to appear on his forehead. You'll find in verse number 20 that the chief priest looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. Now, it's interesting here that he had leprosy appear on his forehead. Does anybody know where it normally began? It's usually where? Does anybody know? A lot of times, most times, the hands. It's usually because you touched another infectious person with leprosy. It was very, very contagious, very, very dreaded, very, very, you know the history of leprosy in the Bible and so forth. If you had leprosy, guess what? You were excommunicated out of the church, the family, the town, and you went and dwelt with leprous people in a certain designated area. For any reason, if you ever came through town, which was very seldom because most people did not even want to see you come through town. If you came into a public place or somehow you came upon a group of people, you'd have to go to the other side of the road and yell out, unclean, unclean, to let them know you were a leper. And now here he is. He's got leprosy. You're going to find in verse number 20, and they had to thrust him out thence. And yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. You find in verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. You see, this morning, there's a lot of principles that we could apply here, but we've got to be very careful that we don't get to the point where we think we're bigger than God. I don't know, I read this, and it proves many, many points here, but if God can take a king who is that prosperous and that blessed, but when you it doesn't matter who you are, you step over the line, God has a way of dealing with people. And God punishes him. And God gives him leprosy. He's never cured of it. You'll find that he's banished, that he is sent away. And if I'm not mistaken, I may be wrong, but I think it's his son that actually becomes king after him, if I'm not mistaken, and so forth. And you'll find that he couldn't go back to the house of God. He couldn't go back home. He couldn't live with his family. And he lived that way from then to the end of his death. Why? All because he got to the point one day where he thought that he could do whatever he wanted and nobody was going to tell him that he couldn't do that. Or we could take a different approach this morning and look and say he was a man who, he was a good man who worshiped God, but he just started worshiping God in the wrong way. There's a lot of important points and facts that you can find here, but the key to life and success is threefold. Number one, do that which is right in the sight of God. Number two, have good spiritual advice in your life. And number three, as long as you seek after Him. As long. Because if you don't, as long, destruction's going to come. And we find it here in this man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what we have this morning. We pray for your blessings upon our service. May you speak to our hearts. May you do a work in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.